Welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
Now tell me what you said.
This little girl, Layla, today, she over here telling me that she doesn't like my twinkle toes. So I say, okay, but who said you had to like them?
Okay.
Now, as always, we find a gem, we unearth something that we can take with us and apply it to our practical lives every day. And we like to find these gems out of the mouths of babes. That's some biblical shit, okay? If you get up on Sunday morning and learn something, then that, I'm sure that hit you. But what I have to say is this young queen, she said, okay, but after she heard and received the fact that someone in her immediate circle didn't like her goddamn shoes, her twinkle toes. Now, that usually applies to sequin and or glitter shoes, which you know little girls love that. We love to see them in it. And they feel good about themselves. So when this hater, this was the first manifestation of a hater in her life. And when they surfaced, she heard what she had to say. And she was literally built up, okay? Her parents had instilled that confidence. And she told her, okay. But who said, no, it don't matter what she said after that. The focus is the okay, comma, but you can apply that to your own lives, okay? When you face adversity, when you face challenges, be them human form or anything else, you know it's going to be a little bit of bullshit, okay? But you got to muster up the strength of that badass little girl that we just heard speak, and you have to apply that challenge, what you just learned, which is hashtag okay, but. So that's what you're going to take with you today. Okay, but even though it's going wrong, okay, but, and then make it go your way. I'm telling you, out the mouths of babes. Now, I don't want no kids, but sometimes they say shit that makes sense. Now, that being said, and most importantly understood, it's time for the QTNAs. We're going to breeze right on through this. It's very simple. Oh, two Lord. Thoughts and one QTNA. Oh, God. Here we go. Number one. This ain't really a question, you know, but happy birthday to Keisha Cole. Today is her birthday. You know what I'm saying? Even though she blocked me with her stupid ass, you know what I'm saying? I ain't did nothing to her. So everybody that listens to this, y'all know I talk about her music and shit. I actually love Keisha Cole. I love the hoe. I love her. But she blocked me.
Should have cheated.
That's right. Happy birthday to her.
Maybe I should have went out to
her. Maybe she should unblock me. Have a little compassion. You just had a baby. I know you feeling maternal. Let me lay on your bosom too.
Oh,
all right.
God. What?
Question number two. QTNA. Oh. Is it true that at an Atlanta Foot Locker store, two people were walking out at the same time, both of them carrying three bags of shoes on each arm? As they approached the door to the store, the shorter one of the two said, nigga, what you gonna do? You know both our ass can't fit through the door. Man, just let him go, man. Just let him go. Once he said that, Quavo looked over and then down into the eyes of King Harris, son of T.I. and Tiny. And he stared for a minute because the motherfuckers looked alike before Offset interrupted, looked at King and said, bitch, watch your mouth. Bitch, stay in your place. Is it true? The point of all this is that Quavo and King Harris look alike, and it is absolutely in the eyes.
This
question number three.
At the Foot Locker in Lenox Mall.
The one
King
that
Harris,
you wait, wait,
the
you,
one that rap?
Wait for the side
no,
by side. Oh. Wait for the side by side that you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. And don't tag me.
You know they will. You know they absolutely going to do.
Question number three is not a question, it's a thought. And it's that I hope that Prince, the artist, you know, I hope he haunts the shit out of the White House while the Trumps are in there. For them playing Purple Rain after his estate told them no in plain English, okay? They didn't even use that weird symbol he was using for a minute. They literally just said no. There wasn't nothing to figure out. So, can you imagine, though, getting haunted by Prince? You know what I'm saying? You laying there in the bed and you wake up and Prince motherfucking ass standing over you talking about, maybe when you were singing, I would die for you. Well, you about to. Can you imagine getting haunted by Prince?
Nah.
That being said and understood, we want to take this opportunity to welcome everybody to the Friend Zone, which is your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. Because who in the hell wants a musty brain? I know none of us do. Fran, how you doing?
I'm amazing.
Thank you.
So before we jump into this week's show, I have to say that the first episode of the Read on Fuse was amazing.
Yes.
Congratulations to writer Dustin Ross when that popped up in the credits.
Thank you so
everyone
much.
Yelled.
Shout out to that show. I'm very proud of it. It performed well, the premiere episode. We were the highest rated premiere of time on the Fuse Network.
Oh, shit.
So shout out to that show, sorry to the mother networks. Thank you for the love, Fran.
Yes, on the 3-day weekend at, 363 Broadway, where I felt like we were living there all weekend in honor of our friends.
What a dope new space. Show.
Yeah, it was super fun. Thanks to all of you who attended and spent time with us doing our mini little live shows and buying up all the merch, and even those of you who came in the premiere. It's just a good weekend.
Speaking of live shows and merch, though, don't you have something you need to talk to the people about again this week
us? Oh, so we're on tour.
Yes, we are.
Back on the road.
And if you have not grabbed your tickets, we will be in Dallas on October 26th.
Yes, we will.
We will be in Atlanta.
We'll be in San Francisco on December 7th.
December 7th, and in Atlanta, December
14th.
So make sure and grab those tickets at thefriendzonelive.com if you haven't already. I know the meet and greets are sold out. And remember, we're popping up with Kia and Jade of Getting Grown. So it's going to be super funny. And a ton of guests. You know, we always have surprise guests on each stop. So
moral of the story, bring your ass.
Literally.
Right. That's it.
And also shout out to Spotify. We recorded live. There's a lot going on. We recorded live with them on Thursday. And shout out to Dr. Joy of
To Dr. Joy.
Who blessed us with her clinical psychology perspective, which really reeled us in during the conversation.
It did reel us in.
She gave us a lot of gems that we can apply. So we're very excited about that episode, which will be dropping next week.
Yep. And you guys will actually get to hear that. It was in collaboration. It was a conversation we had in collaboration with Spotify to celebrate World Mental Health Day.
Yes.
In their New York HQ. It was just an amazing opportunity.
That office is a dream. Literally, my dream.
Literally.
Apartment.
For real.
That couch.
View. That couch. It looked like the couch that Prince going to get up off of and haunt.
I told you I might lead a podcast, be up in Spotify every day just looking at that view.
Man. So as we have every week, we have a Black business to shout out. So shout out to Pulchritudinist, Vocab Words, on Instagram for sending this Black-owned business my way via DM. Thank you for that. So she mentioned YouGoNatural.com is a line of pre-tied, satin-lined head wraps and turbans. They're actually really cute, especially for people like me who don't always know how to tie them in a way that looks cute. They're pre-tied. And then, you know, if it's satin lined, that means it's not going to absorb all the moisture you've added to your hair with your products like cotton does. So not only is it cute, but it actually helps your hair stay healthy and moisturized in these colder temperatures. So
it's like a fitted head wrap.
It is. With patterned prints. And so Monique Little is the founder. Look at her. I love that head wrap. So shout out to you, Monique Little, for this genius product.
For this big idea. Shout out to Monique Little for this big idea.
That we will definitely be buying. So check out YouGoNatural.com, spelled just as is, as well as their Instagram, which is just YouGoNatural. And thank you to Pulchritudinist, like I said, for sending that my way.
Oh, T-I-S Instagram name. That's who gave. She might be one of them. What, you been fucking around with T.I. behind tight? Oh, who told you to name your shit that?
And that's it for this week's Black Business. Ready to jump into the recap?
All the way.
So last week's episode, geniusly titled, Did She Add Brown Gel? Who can you guess titled it that? Dustin Ross. So we decided to take it easy and just talk because we were all very tired. It was a very long week. We talked about everything and nothing. And as always, those of you listening had a lot to say. So who stood out to you, Asante?
I want to give a couple of shout outs. It's spooky season, and we talked about a lot of spooky shit last week. So I want to give a shout out to Corey. It says, for the subject, I too survived Lake Lanier. I wanted to start out by saying that I love y'all so much and that I've been a fan from the very beginning. On the podcast last week, y'all talked about Lake Lanier, how haunted it is. And as a Gainesville native, I can definitely say that the lake is haunted. Lake Lanier is a man-made lake. Builders used dynamite to break up the land, filled it with water, and called it a lake. even with an entire ghost town below. When I was growing up, and even now, it's almost normal to hear that someone has gone missing or drowned in Lake Lanier. I even feel like, for real, like I've just always heard throughout the years, my damn self growing up, that, oh, something happened in Lake Lanier. And it was just commonplace that it happened, and people were still like going out there. So I was just like, oh yeah, that's something that's always happened. Anyway, like Asante said, I've spent several field trips on the lake and survived to tell the tale, thank God. Brand mentioned Hannah Truelove, who went to my high school.
Oh, man.
She was murdered near her apartment complex, which happens to be near the lake. The crazy thing is, leading up to her murder, she made these mysterious tweets, which alluded to the fact that she was being stalked by someone in the complex.
All right.
Even crazier, my best friend lived in the same complex at the time. And I'll never forget one weekend around the same time, some friends and I spent a night at my best friend's house. While her mom cooked us dinner, we decided to kill some time by walking up the lake. Looking back at 22, this was very stupid, but we were freshmen in high school. It was about a 3-mile walk, so by the time we got to the lake, the sun was already setting. Once we got there, we walked along the lake's edge, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw an old car pull up with a middle-aged man inside. Nothing out of the ordinary, but I started to get this uneasy feeling. I pulled my friends to the side and told them that we should head back. And I've been a fan of true crime from an early age, and all I could think was that the murderer was returning to the scene of the crime.
Oh, God.
Maybe I was just paranoid, but I wasn't going to risk it. So we punched it back to my best friend's house in record timing. So the fact that they lived by somewhere creepy and thought some creepy shit had been happening their entire life was just like crazy to me. But it also was kind of missed upon me how crazy it's been that we all just know that niggas be dying at Lake Lanier and we still just casually pop up there.
I don't understand.
Yep. That was who I wanted to share. That's who stuck out to me. Also, just very quickly, I know we just did our Black business, but I want to say, rest in power to Charles Jones. He has the Capital City Mambo Sauce business, and he passed over the weekend. And a lot of people have sent in emails, actually, which mean they all got the same email that I got from his wife, one of the co-founder, actually. So I just want to say rest in power to him. I've supported and bought all the Mambo Sauce that I've bought.
Aww.
I'm going to buy me extra Mambo Sauce to support the family. So if you all want to support, shopcapitalcity.com.
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 Got it. So, I'll add it to the...
Yeah, program. Just get you some Mambo Sauce. And that's it. That's what I saw here in the emails. Fran, what about you? What did you find in them SoundCloud streets?
So, Janae Ivory, actually...
I was going to say, Janae Aiko. I was going to Janae listen to the show.
Janae's a white girl. Looked like Janae Aiko.
Janae responded to something I said about the mukbangs. Remember I was saying how people eat 10,000 calories a day. And she was saying a lot of mukbangers binge and throw it up. Or they only eat once a day.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Or they have intense workout sessions. They usually say they're working out, but the ones in Korea often just throw up afterwards. Not sure where she got this from.
I was just finna say, how the fuck you know?
Right. I mean, I don't know. Oh my God. She read it somewhere, but that's an interesting...
That's so traumatic.
Response. I didn't know that.
Very interesting.
I am going to look that up, though, because I'm so curious. How do people eat 10,000 calories of food a day, every day? Because if you look at the mukbangers on YouTube, they post daily. So I'm curious.
You got to keep that weight on
and
that.
And what the long-term effects are going to be. Because they
my
eat 600
pound life. Frying chicken in the goddamn bed.
But some of them have been doing it for years, and they look the same.
Shout out to Family by the Ton.
They look the same. I don't know.
I hope they're hiring. Y'all niggas hiring Family by the Ton.
What about you, Dustin? What'd you find in the Twitter
stream? I only got one tweet, and I got one other thing to say. Y'all believe that email about Lake Lanier?
Oh, my God.
Why not?
Why don't you?
I don't believe. I'm not going to say I don't believe you, dog. The person who wrote the email probably was like, we just finished the episode. We broke down like a crime story and shit. I just feel like, I don't know.
They were part of the
something in me just, you know, I'm just a little off with that. But anyway, I only got one tweet I want to share. You know, that's a lie
they're
somewhere.
They're going to start a hashtag on us. Believe your listeners.
I only believe them because they claimed Gainesville, which is like somewhere in Georgia. Like, it's like a little up north. And I'm like, well, no one says they're from there. So I was like, all right, well, maybe they know
except
they're
for
from.
People who lie about weird shit happening at Lake Lanier.
That's true, I guess.
You got the time. Anyway,
right, so what
the tweet
did you
that
find?
I want to highlight comes from at Shoobs, S-H-O-O-O-B-Z. This is really funny, really simple. They tweeted, DaBaby, the rapper from Charlotte, DaBaby is 5'5 with brown eyes, smile like the sun.
He is, though.
Smile like
That shit funny, ain't it?
Because anywhere he goes, he spot it.
I was like, oh, got it.
He won, he got it.
That took me the fuck down. Now, I mean,
listen, while you playing, he better come out with a sample from this.
Don't ruin that song for me.
What you mean? Claudette will flourish, okay? Woo, that was a good one.
That shit was funny. Wasn't it?
Shout out to Shoes. I fuck with that
one. I understand why you only did one this week. So before we get started and jump into our new topic for the day, we have to shout out our special guests who are joining us today. We have Mandy B of Horrible Decisions.
Hey, y'all, aka Pay the Stallion. Y'all know what it is. I'm in the building, aka that bitch. But I am one half of the Horrible Decisions podcast that is spelled whore, IBLE Decisions. We are a podcast that focuses on anti-slut shaming and no kink shaming, but specifically focus on bringing kinks to the forefront and having those conversations around sex, dating, and relationships.
What if they want it in the bag?
You know I'm all here for that. Are we going to keep rhyming now?
They might want their kink in the bag.
Yeah. You know, maybe. But no, so we have fun with that. And thank you guys for having me on.
Of course. Yeah. Hey, considering the topic, I was like, who better than Peg the Stallion to come on the show and
who
talk
overqualified?
And,
well, actually, I guess at this point, because just to squeeze it in there, if you guys are listening at work or in front of your children, this is the time for headphones or to say, hey, coworkers, lunchtime. I'm going to go put these headphones on and finish the episode.
Okay. Or to say, this is how you got here, if you are listening from your children.
Pretty much. So this will be, I guess, a different episode of the Friend Zone.
Episode's rated X.
Yes, it is.
It's called Welcome to the Danger Zone.
Oh, shit.
And with that Dominican accent, our second guest, please introduce yourself.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? My name is Makana, man. I'm a porn star.
That was awesome.
You know, thank you guys for, like, inviting me here. I'm very appreciative of you guys. But like Mandy said, to all you listeners, it's time for you guys to put your headphones on because it's going to get crazy. Shit.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
This is the Twilight Zone.
So before we even dig deep into that, though, tell the people where they can find
you. Here we go. Well, starting already.
They can find me on Twitter at MakanaXman. They can find me on Instagram at The Real MakanaXman. Yeah, you know, like porn X-Man.
Yeah, I got it.
And can you spell Makana for people?
MakanaX.
Okay.
M-A-N.
And why is your name Makana Man? Why did you pick
because
that?
Because it was instrument used back in the days by the Taínos as a weapon.
Mm-hmm. The Makana was.
Yeah, the Makana was. It was like 10, 11 inches and it's like, you know.
Like a knife stick.
Yeah, like a knife stick. Yeah. Basically a knife stick.
Are you 10, 11 inches?
Basically.
Basically.
Hi, Mom. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, Mom. Turn this off or don't tell me that you listened. Please.
My mom probably going to listen to it and laugh.
Amazing. So, before we start, the inspiration behind this episode.
Right. Let's be clear.
Because there's always an intention. So, I was on Twitter and this video went viral. Those of you listening or those of you in the room may have caught it as well. And it was someone in a latex suit from head to toe.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it?
I probably posted it.
I probably saw it because of Mandy and the Horrible Decisions account.
Okay.
But the person was in a latex outfit from head to toe, laying on a bed, and they had what I'm assuming was a dominatrix rubbing on them. Mm-hmm. And
like electron pose.
Right.
And you know, I had a moment where it was like record scratch. Freeze frame, the narrator comes in like, so you're probably wondering how I got here.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm wondering how someone figures out that that's even something they enjoy. How did he or whoever was in there, because we don't know who it was.
How they got into it.
How did they figure out that this is something that they would get off on? How they find the latex, how they find the environment, the person, you know, like what were the steps that it took. And then that's when I kind of thought about kinks and fetishes and the psychology behind it. And I hit Mandy and I thought this would be a really cool episode, not only to talk about the science, which of course you guys know is my favorite part, but also
I don't believe that science, but it's cool.
But also, well, that's what we'll meet halfway.
Yeah.
But also I want to know the different kinks and fetishes that people are experiencing and partaking in. Because I read that there's at least 500.
Oh, there's so many.
So many.
That's just the ones they talk about.
That are accounted for, let's say. Yeah. Because I'm sure wherever there's an object, there's someone sexualizing it somewhere.
Yeah, that's shoving it in something.
Whenever someone's like, are you vanilla? I'm like, yes, very much so. I don't think that I'm kinky enough. When people start asking you off the bat that you're kinky, and I'm like, oh, well, since you asked,
you're not
me,
a freak until you meet a real one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true.
You know, hey, I'm a real freak.
But before we get started, I do want to say that kink and fetish are not the same thing, right?
Correct. It's funny because when Fran hit me and said that she wanted to have this conversation, I was like, I think it's important before anything to differentiate between what a fetish is and what a kink is. And it's funny because I know we all have our kinks, but we all also have our fetishes. Mm-hmm. But I'll actually read what I sent to Fran regarding it. It says that people who are in the kink community like to discriminate fetish from kink by saying that kink is more focused on the person, but the activity is part of the fun.
Somebody in the fetish community probably wrote that about the kink community. That sounds
probably
a little salty to me.
Probably. They already like, you know, we're going to segregate each other. On the other hand, people who have a fetish are intensely focused on a specific object or ritual as a part of their sexuality. So basically a kink, you can bring it into the bedroom, but it doesn't necessarily have to be there. Fetishes, you kind of incorporate into your sexual life.
Ain't that the same thing?
Well, no, because like, I was going to say, like, for me, and we won't spend much time on this. Mm. I will fuck someone who may not allow me to peg them, but I enjoy pegging. So pegging would be a kink that I enjoy doing, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in the bedroom.
Oh, got it.
It's a sexual act or object that you enjoy doing, but you don't need to
it's
do
not
it
necessary.
Every time
yes.
to
that's
get
a
off.
Kink.
Whereas a fetish, you actually need
that's what
to
you
do
time.
It every time to get off.
So a fetish is like being on kink, like being on drugs. Like, you know.
There you go. You're addicted to it. There you go.
Okay, all right. Come on, we learning. Hey. Yeah.
So now we know the difference between kinks and fetishes.
This is
right?
like being on the comment section of Pornhub. Like, I feel like I'm like learning about it.
Don't judge me because I be leaving comments.
I be reading them. I don't know what it is, but sometimes I just get caught up in the comments. Like,
I'm not going to lie. I actually feel sad when I see a video and it says zero comments. I'd be like, was there nothing to say about this?
The sex was trash.
This must be new.
Facts.
So the cool thing is I was reading in a recent study that 1 in 3 people have partaken in a fetish of some sort at one point in their life or other.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you are raising your hand in
Guilty.
This room?
Shit, you don't gotta ask me. I'm a porn star. Come on, now.
Right?
Probably. I don't know.
Right. I'm sure we dig.
I know.
Deep
I'm
enough.
Just like probably. Like,
I mean, I'll say at one point I felt fetishized.
Why?
Oh, for sure.
You be having sex with white men?
No, I will never. Pink dick is a no. But I felt fetishized. And for a lot of people who know my journey, I did have the VSG. So I had the sleeve. And I felt that when I was bigger.
What is the sleeve?
So I had, it's a gastric, basically, 80% of my stomach out.
You thought it was a sex toy or something?
I was like, what did you put in your vagina?
No.
What sleeve goes in there?
No, it's my stomach. It aided in my weight loss. But I've actually had this conversation at how many men approached me because of my weight. And even in the process of me losing weight, men telling me, oh, well, let me get in there before you lose too much weight or sit on my face before you lose weight. And it's crazy because as a society, I feel like so many people shame the bigger community, the BBWs or the obese or, you know, people who battle with their weight. And that's honestly where I think a lot of men don't admit. Y'all talk about, you know, we have the trade and the DL. The fat women lovers are real.
Listen.
And they are out here not admitting it. But unfortunately, like, as a bigger woman at one point, like, I saw so many men wouldn't admit to their friends that they was all in between these creases, baby.
I like that. Don't ask, don't tell shit. They probably would have turned me
look.
On. I text them like, well, look at me now. I'm eating this chicken leg.
You know what I'm saying?
Across the room at the restaurant type shit. You got fun with that.
No, you can't. They do like seeing women eat. That's actually a kink.
Listen, I was watching my 600-pound
like
life.
No.
Yeah, because people do get off on watching. Well, not get off, but they it's entertaining.
They're, yeah, so it's against, it's so mukbang has to do with the sound more than anything.
Yeah, I like it. Damn, is that my fetish?
You might be a serial killer. Anyone who watches mukbang, I think, is awesome.
Because, like, listening to that
you
detail.
You just like people eating motherfucking crab legs. But no, like, she there's actually the a kink where feeding and making someone gain weight off, like, people are aroused off that. Like,
So, okay, so the technical term is paraphilia.
Yes.
Correct, right?
Correct.
That's close to pedophilia. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm right.
Well, that is a paraphilia. Close. And we'll get into that. A lot of them do end with ilia, but paraphilias are basically what kinks are called scientifically.
Scientifically. Yes. So it's defined as an atypical sexual interest in an object, act, body part or sensation. And like I mentioned, it's actually 549 paraphilias that have been identified.
Yes.
Now, can I just get ahead of myself right quick?
Go ahead.
All I heard was philia, and I thought about necro, and I know that means the kink of or fetish of sleeping with dead bodies, and that's nasty.
You know what's crazy? So, I put that on the list.
So are all the ilias nasty as fuck?
That's the thing. So what's crazy, if you guys look into...
And let's not ilia shame, you guys.
No ilia shame.
Hey, I got a pocket pussy. What? Sometimes a pocket pussy feels better than a real pussy.
No, sir.
That's different. Ain't
that
don't
got nothing to do with no dead bodies or...
No. I'm off the top. I'm just saying about the philia. Some people like to play with toys and shit.
Is that a philia?
Okay, so...
That's one of the good ones.
Yeah, that's one of the good ones.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing wrong with no toys.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You got to get to know yourself. Know your worth.
Right. It's crazy. If you look into just the history of sex, like even at one point, someone liking a lot of sex.
The history of sex.
Yeah, like... Oh, there's...
Yeah,
like Adam and Eve.
Not Adam and Eve, man. That's the Bible.
First ones to have.
But that's a whole nother thing.
Oh my God.
But basically, like at one point, even if you like as a woman, if you enjoyed, if you were a nympho, they would put you into the insane asylum, and they would
suffer for hysteria.
That ain't funny, but that's funny.
Yes.
Or kill you to death. Or
if you, if as a woman, if you liked a lot of sex,
and they
viewed you as
something,
if we're gonna talk about the paraphilias,
relationship.
I do have a list of some that would be considered mental disorders or unsafe kinks.
Oh no.
So. Y'all, these words are a little long. Don't come for me.
No. I need the list because if anyone ever says, I'm into this ilia, and I can be, I need to leave.
Well, I mean, there's a full list. Honestly, guys, if you guys want to look into the list, they're alphabeticalized. If you look up paraphilia list, it's on Wikipedia.
Paraphilia list?
Just yes.
Like that?
Literally, nice. Just like that.
Do it
how
from
you think
a burner
we find our
phone.
King of the weeks.
I
want to go down this list, and a lot of them do... use the Latin roots, so sometimes you can guess what it means. The first one is anthropophagolagnia.
No.
What do you think that means?
People that's in the back teeth.
No.
What?
So this is actually
like
the raping and then cannibalizing of a person.
No.
Another one is anthropophagy, foggy, which is ingesting human flesh.
Wow.
Necrophilia is what Asante just said, which has to do with having sex with a corpse, which is actually what Ted Bundy was diagnosed with being, because he would actually kill his victims and then perform sex acts on them once they were done. And one of the ones that you guys are most familiar with would be pedophilia, which is the desire for children under the age of 5. Yep.
Gross.
Ooh, and I was reading that the DSM-5, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, which is published.
That's the next Ava documentary.
I mean, it
right, that's what I was thinking.
Ava DuVernay presents the DSM-5.
it's a manual that's published by the American Psychiatric Association, right? It's basically their standard classification of mental disorders. It's like their Bible. It's updated every 10 to 15 years, and it's used by mental health professionals. And I read that just in 2012, paraphilia was just removed.
Oh, wow.
So it's no longer considered a mental disorder, but the fact that it was in there. So for kinks and fetishes, they literally felt that you...
Something was wrong with you.
That you had a disorder.
Now, to me, if you're into having sex with corpses children under 5 as an adult, I do feel like there's some sort of mental issue there. However, there are a lot of paraphilias that are normal. So some like having sex in front of a mirror, or voyeurism, which is actually just being watched by someone else.
I thought that was exhibitionism.
No, same thing. Voyeurism.
It's kind of like, because like a voyeurism is somebody who likes being watched. An exhibition is somebody like who likes to be watched.
Yeah. Likes to be watched. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a difference with that.
Mm-hmm. Like,
And then I also found some other ones that are pretty, maybe not normal. Some are normal, some are not. But olactophilia is the arousal that comes from smells.
I thought that was something about titty milk.
No. Pygophilia is butts. We know y'all like them.
That's fucking patty pies.
Podophilia has to do with your feet. Y'all know that's on me all day. Holla to the foot fetish community. And then fornophilia, which is a little bit different,
sex
I would say.
Before marriage?
No, it is actually those who enjoy being human furniture. So you can be a human ashtray, a human counter.
Getting burned.
I've seen
stuff
that.
Like that.
So a human ashtray is someone who may stick out their tongue and you ash their cigarettes on.
Oh.
Or a man can come sit in front of me and be my footrest.
Yeah.
And he sits there while
like
I put
ottoman.
My foot up. Or an ottoman. Or I can literally eat my dinner on his back as a table.
Wow.
So those would be considered king
mating.
And that turns them on.
This is why they ended up in that damn
That's
book.
Crazy.
Right?
Like, now to cut y'all off, like I know I met a girl who was like that. She likes to like to be like touched while she's sleeping, like she has like rape. What is it called? Like a rape. She has like a rape fetish. Like
so that's a thing too.
What would that be called?
Risky like, shit. Yeah, like, I don't know if I would play that game.
Like,
I'd be like, you on your own,
like,
bitch.
I was like, whoa. You know, she's like, I wish two guys would just run up in here and just like bang me against the wall. And I was like,
hold on, I'm gonna look. I'm gonna look.
Call some niggas over. Like, what the hell is wrong with you?
While Manzi finds the actual philia for that,
yes,
I did read that paraphilias are only thought to be deviant if it's without consent or causes harm to another person.
So, yes, and for what you just said, the paraphilia for what you were discussing is biastophilia or raptophilia, which is consensual rape fantasy.
Okay.
So basically,
consensual
non-consent. Yeah. So you have the fantasy of giving someone the power over your body, but you're consenting to maybe do it in an unconsensual manner. Mm. Yeah. That's. I ain't gonna lie, I had that fantasy before. I be looking for them shits on Pornhub, but they don't exist.
Yeah, that like that shit kind of like.
Yeah, it make you feel a little weird. But yeah, that is a thing.
I would. Absolutely. I like when I tell you I would never type that shit into my search table, man.
No, in real life, it's weird.
They search your computer and see.
No, I really believe it. Like I have fans who like will like want to see my feet. I'm like, I got athletes for like I drop two weights on my big toes. Like, nobody sees my feet. I'm like, yeah, just send me a picture. Come
but
on.
They might like
yeah, that's what they like. No, that's what they're into. Like feet and shit. Like,
yeah, we had someone on our show who came on and shared the story. So basically he focuses on allowing women to live out these fantasies. So shout out to Sir Dash. He actually focuses on bondage, but some of his clients will actually ask to partake in this. So he has a van. Well, he'll come. He'll know your schedule ahead of time. You won't know what time he pulls up, but he'll come, kidnap you, put you in his van, bring you to a warehouse, tie you up. And that's the fantasy of you being aroused, is that you're being kidnapped and possibly about to experience a life-threatening situation.
No thanks.
Yeah. Right.
Away knows that everyone has a different travel style. That's why they make their carry-on in an array of colors, two sizes, and two materials, a strong yet flexible polycarbonate, and an anodized aluminum. Not to mention, suitcases are designed to last a lifetime. But if any part of your suitcase breaks, Away's standout customer service team will arrange to have it fixed or replaced ASAP. And thanks to their 100-day trial on everything Away makes, take it out on the road and live with it. You can travel with it, get lost with it. Then, if you decide it's not for you, you can return any non-personalized item for a full refund. No ifs, ands, or asterisks. Want to see for yourself? Shop everything Away at their stores in New York, Austin, LA, San Francisco, Boston, Chicago, and London. I have an Away suitcase. I love it. Fits all my luggage. I can put it on any carry-on and any flight. I don't have to ever check that. And I also love that I can take my battery out and look at TSA and say, leave me alone. I'm just about to walk through. So to get $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/friendzone20 and use promo code friendzone20 during checkout. That's awaytravel.com/friendzone20 and use promo code friendzone20 for $20 off a suitcase. Because getting away means getting more out of every trip to come.
Going back to the foot fetish.
Yes.
I was reading that there was a neuroscientist by the name of Vilanaya Ramachandran, and I hope I'm saying that correctly. He's a neuroscientist that used to work with amputees and those with phantom limb syndrome. So he discovered that the reason that foot fetishes are pretty much half the fetishes in the world are foot fetishes, which is so interesting. That means one in two people that have a fetish, it's going to be a foot one. He felt that it was a cross wiring in the brain. That's where it stems from.
Well,
and that's why it's so much, because the brain areas associated with the genitalia and feet are adjacent to each other in the brain's body image mapping.
This is why I don't believe in science, man. Whatever he said. Listen, my feet.
Interesting.
I mean, it is very interesting. And it's funny because we actually talked about the amputee fetish when Dustin came on, and then it led into a whole this type of conversation on deaf and blind folks. But when it comes to feet, they are something to wear. At first, we used to ask all of our listeners, and I'll ask y'all, would you rather lick ass or suck toes? And in the beginning of my podcast, oh my God, lick ass all day. Duh, I do that without asking. You know, let me just lick down there. But now it's to the point where I am giving foot massage. Like, it's almost like the foot fetish has grown on me. Mm. So that's why there's almost a question to that, because it's not something that automatically came to me, but that I've grown into.
The taste you're acquiring.
You know, it is a taste
I'm acquiring. Well, apparently, like, from olives. What he's saying, that means, you know, them two parts have been next to each other long enough. They say if you feed it long enough, you know what I'm saying? So maybe that's how you just grew it like a toe. You know what I'm saying?
And I was, so of course I was looking like, what kind of what Mandy's saying, where would a fetish stem from? Like, is it a pathology? Is it a trauma? Is it just an imprint from childhood? I did read that a sex counselor, Jessica O'Reilly, I'm not sure if you're familiar, she believed that it's imprinted in the mind when a person is first becoming aware of their own sexuality. So her example was, if a boy loses his virginity to a woman wearing thigh highs, from that day forward, he's going to associate thigh highs with sexuality.
Makes sense.
Nah. You gonna shake your head.
I lost my virginity to a drug dealer, and I don't even like them niggas no more.
You a motherfucker.
I will
liar.
Not deal with no drug dealer. But no, like, I don't believe that, because I'm 20. I just turned 29.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. But sexuality to me has changed from me losing my virginity at 16 years old to me continuing having sex into my early 20s to my mid 20s to even now. So to me, it's nothing imprinted. I do say I dislike the idea that paraphilias and kinks are linked to trauma.
Right.
I hate sometimes that things that we enjoy in the bedroom, you want to link to
say,
trauma.
They did say that they did not find trauma to be a predictor. Like, it's not, there's not a correlation.
Okay, I do
right.
like that.
It's
like
just
that.
The imprinting of certain objects and arousals. They do feel that comes from early childhood.
So I'm finna just keep it like a buck, right?
Do that.
So y'all know I've talked on this show like several times about how I do like, you know, nice feet, you know what I'm saying, on people that I spend time with. We go get naked, you know what I'm saying? You know, I like that to be there. And I remember when I even discovered that it was like intimate to see somebody barefoot, you know what I'm saying? When I was in swimming lessons, it like...
See, here we go.
This is so embarrassing. When I was in, you know, I had sex, you know, very early. I had sex when I had sex early. I have to tell y'all motherfuckers my business. So I had sex early. So I was aware, you know what I mean? And I remember being in like eighth grade and seeing, you know, and going to swimming lessons, you know what I'm saying? And seeing my classmates like barefoot and like swimming trunks and being like, wait a minute, like this is a part of your body I would never normally see. You know what I'm saying? Like whatever. And that's when it became like that's when I peeped
that's
like,
cute.
Oh, like.
Yo, so, did you ever go into like your friend's bathroom and like their moms had like their panties hanging and shit like that?
Yes.
Did you ever like sniff them and shit?
I sniffed the bra because I felt like it wouldn't know like panties would be like shit.
Yeah.
So like a bra would just smell like naked parts. So I, you know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah. Because I done that. I done gone to like my friend's house and I seen like a bra or panty.
And you sniff him?
That shit turns me on.
What's like, that feeling?
I like what? Like,
oh, lactophilia smell.
Yeah,
because
like feet. Like I like feet. Like I didn't know I liked feet till I got older.
Right.
I'd be like, oh, hell no, get your feet off of me. But then like, now I look at feet and I'm like, oh, you have pretty feet. They're like, I gotta leave because it turns me on.
I got Adidas. Stop looking at my
feet. It turns me on.
Got sneakers on, and I'm not taking them off.
Like, and an example, like, I'll be telling girls, like, oh, you have pretty feet. And they'll be like, why did you walk away? I'll be like, oh, no, I just had to go do something. But in reality,
you got hard?
It just turned me, it turned me on.
You don't want them to see
I like
Makana.
Licking feet and in between the webs and shit.
Wow.
You feel me? Like,
what's that called, man?
Like, I will lick you like from
Monique
head to
said,
toe.
Like, since you got your fucking degrees and everything.
Yeah.
What's that called, man?
Nah, that, I mean, that still has to do with just the foot fetish. There's a whole thing that, like, under the foot fetish umbrella, there are, it's funny because, of course, I've been looking into it. So the soles of your feet is a turn on.
Big
the
feet.
Heels.
Yeah.
The size. Some size. Men like dirty feet.
Hell
I swear to God. There's Webby also feet? there's also if you're in fishnets or stockings, there's also heels. So we actually had shout out to Dallas Penn, who came in, he walked in the studio during one of our recording. He has an actual heel fetish, which is the actual heel that a woman would put her foot in. And he said he likes the arch that it gives a woman's foot. He worked at Marshall's and was jacking off in the heels.
Wow.
In the back room.
Wow.
And so even dedication. Just the idea. So if any of you find a pair of shoes in the
brings
closet that are not
gel
yours,
inserts.
I would say, you know, not gel inserts. You nasty Dustin.
Like, I'm nasty. This motherfucker was jacking off his shoes at Marshall's.
He was.
But I'm nasty.
You just call it gel insert.
Right. And he's whacking off in hush puppies, but I'm nasty.
You may not know there's people that jerk off like restaurants and shit just by looking at
them. No,
people.
Okay, calm down.
No, they do.
That's true.
Just by giving you a look. Like, I've seen that. Like, I've seen somebody, like, just play with themselves while, like, looking at wherever they're at.
That happens whatever. On the
Yeah, that's
train.
What I'm saying. Right. Like, yeah. But this regular shit.
I found that the second, let's see if y'all can guess what the second most popular fetish search on the internet
Damn,
is.
Yeah, we did this with
Scat.
Asante.
Having sex publicly, public sex.
Public
is that
sex.
A fetish?
Group sex.
Navel fetishes.
Oh.
Belly button?
Belly button fetish.
Ew.
That's
I dirty. Thought you meant fucking sailors.
I was never going to get there. Right? Me, something like Fleet Week. Like,
dirty in there.
No,
like...
people love stomachs. They love outies. Innies.
You know what's crazy? There's this really, damn it, I can't remember his porn star name, but he got a big old dick, but I can't get past his outie belly button. Even though his dick is really nice, his outie bothers me.
Really?
Damn, I'm
you know
about
who
I'm
talking about.
About.
You know talking
but
about.
Does it look like, because it's different. Like, I have
so you look like a marshmallow.
So you have the opposite of the feeling. Yeah, it looks like a marshmallow. I like innies, but I'm also very particular on what a dick looks like too. Like we were talking about it. My dick is circumcised. I don't really like...
You have to explain
do
that, Mandy.
Oh, yeah. Y'all, I'm sorry. I do, because my voice is kind of raspy, yeah. Ain't it?
Not that. That no. You just look... Just
so,
explain.
So I do have a strap on that I enjoy using, and it's beautiful. It's veiny
it really
with a mushroom
nice.
Head, with balls that aren't... You know, they don't hang too well, but they're really good-sized balls.
I wonder what's inside them motherfuckers.
It's hard. Nothing. I can't...
Like,
I wish
what would
I could
you put in there to be
of,
a fake ball? I wonder if
I
they
wish.
Put like a Hershey's
it's,
Kiss.
It's plant-based.
Impossible burger. Impossible balls.
It's made from impossible meats.
But yeah, so yeah, I just think when it comes to what I prefer, like on the body, there's just certain things that I like aesthetically, like that turns me on. But we talked about it. It's like you were saying, kinks focus on not only objects and actions, but things that are a part of the body. I get turned on by Adam's apples. I don't know why, but this is why I know I could never fully be lesbian because I really like
you
Adam's
need to
apples.
See that.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
I want to. I be liking women's, but then I like Adam's apples. Okay,
women's,
what am I doing here?
Women's.
Now, I am into women's.
Now I'm curious as a porn star.
Yeah.
When you are. I guess I don't know the process, but do people present what the movie is going to be about first and then you decide if you're going to agree?
Nah.
Oh,
like,
you don't get
you
no
just
script?
Pull up.
Like, do you get a script?
It depends. It depends on who
treatment.
You work. Like, it depends on the company you work for or, like, at the level that you're at in your career or, you know? Because when I first started, it was just get in there to shoot whatever.
Mm.
And then
literally.
It got to, like, all right, you're going to shoot like this. Doggy style missionary. He's going to suck your penis for 5 minutes and then you're going to eat her out for 5 minutes. But now it's at a level where, like, I go and it's like a whole script.
Mm.
Like, we're going to do this first. And then they got to change the cameras and the angles.
Like, the chapters.
Yeah.
The chapters. So what's been the funnest scene that you've done?
Honestly, like, I did a scene where the girl was on, like, you know, like a swing. but it was like a wheel swing. And she got in the actual swing. Like inside the wheel. Swing. Yeah, like you know the wheels with the ropes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it was actually a swing.
Oh wow.
And you could swing her. Yeah. And then she actually got in the wheel.
Like a tire.
Like a hamster.
Like a tire, yeah. And I was like,
you were fucking a hamster.
In the tire while y'all was swinging.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I had a lot of different scenes. I've had one with a drone. Like,
so here was my question for you. Yeah. Are there any fetishes that have been presented to you that you were like, I'm not doing that?
I mean, one was presented to me and I didn't want to do it. And when I like made my mind up and I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it, I couldn't do it.
Which was what?
Which was peeing on somebody.
You couldn't pee on somebody?
I couldn't.
Why?
Because it was just the fact like we all should have started at the same time. It was three guys and one girl. Mm-hmm. So she asked for it. She's like, oh, can you guys like piss on me? So I'm like, oh, cool. Let's do it. But they all peed on her.
Oh, so you were last.
And then like the shit was like, and I'm like, damn. Like
you went with everybody else peeing. You couldn't pee.
Yeah, and I couldn't pee. Like I just couldn't do it. And then when they gave me the opportunity to like do it myself, I couldn't do it.
And so this is Golden Showers. And it's funny that you say that because I have pissed on a guy upon request.
Guys like that shit.
However, what you experience, so sex is a lot more mental than physical. Mm. And when he asked me to do it, he laid down in the shower. That's where he wanted me to do it. And I stood over him and he like, I was drinking mad Ciroc. And because he wanted, you got to be full of liquids if you're going to just piss on demand.
Right. Yeah.
And so I stood over him in the shower and it wouldn't come out. So literally what I had to do was run to the toilet, which was, you know, a couple feet away, went to the toilet, sat down like I was going to pee, finally was able to pee because in my mind I was across the toilet, I was over a toilet, held it, ran back over him, and then had to pee on him. Wow. So, like, it took a lot, though, mentally for me to do
it. You got to be really into literally the act of getting pee because that shit ain't sexy.
You actually got to like that.
By that point, I'd have been like, well, fuck it then. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even want to know about fuck it.
For you to be able to, like,
I guess I want to ask the three of you, and again, I want to thank y'all for
we're talking about the science behind kink.
Well, I want to thank y'all for letting me come on. If you guys, you know, recognize my voice, I was a part of the Friend Zone Live here in New York, and it was amazing. But I did want to ask the question to you three: at what level would you guys say, "Oh nah, I'm not into that"? Well, we know you're not even having sex, so at this point, you don't want to see penis. But what would you? What
you
would
don't
be
know
your,
she might
want
to see just
your
to see.
Hard limit with even the person you love or your husband, if they were into it? What would be you guys' hard limit that you would pass on?
Scat. I don't know that I
have. I was about to say, I'm not
that's
doing the back. Like, pee maybe, but
what
the
is
back.
Scat? The poop?
Scat
yeah.
Is poop,
yeah.
Skid, bop, 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 bop. Bop, 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 bop.
Yeah, I don't think I would do scat either. No, that's where I draw the line, too.
I think we're all drawing the line.
However, we did ask on our show as well, we got into the conversation of, well, how much? Like, if it was a hard poop, would you consider it?
Hell
like,
nah.
Hell no.
No,
you're wild.
Not for no type of
money. Shit is shit. What the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, not diarrhea,
Mandy.
But the hard turn.
Mandy.
It's just
Mandy.
One.
It's shit.
It's shit, Mandy.
No? No?
That's nasty, man.
Mandy, shit is shit, man.
I mean, if it was hard, it just rolled off.
Yeah, but it's gonna roll off, but then the whole room gonna stench.
You okay,
so grab some toilet paper and shower.
Shit
you
don't always
be stink. Shitty to me, in my opinion. I wouldn't even be able to fuck with you. No
well, I wouldn't
more.
Tell you. My account would just be bigger.
You tainted.
No shit in the bedroom.
I'm talking about if we did that, like if we were having sex and we had that kind of like shit play or whatever.
You tainted.
I would be over it. Like I can't even look at you the same never again.
Can't do that.
But I don't want to eat nothing you cook.
Because when I was researching,
no parts, my nigga.
When I was no kink shaming.
You're kink shaming right now. You're being quite judgy right now.
Yeah,
judgy what you was a bad. I don't give a damn. You ain't shitting on me. If that's shaming, then goddamn it, be shame.
But as I was researching these kinks and fetishes, I noticed that no one was really explaining where they come from, though. Mm. There seems to be very limited literature. Like, what would make someone want to be, what did you say, scat?
Do you know what your question reminds me of? And that I think you guys, I'm sure, have had a lot of like conversations regarding sexuality, period.
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah.
So,
like, where does that come from?
Right. Where does you being gay come from? Where does you liking girls and boys come from? Yeah. Why do you like trans women? So that question, the same way, there's no answer to that. And the debate of whether you're born the way you are or you're not, I genuinely think that's the answer to what we like in the bedroom. We are all very different human beings. And so to want to label us or pinpoint where certain things come from us, That's a thing that science can't answer, sis. Yep.
That ain't what old boy said, because he said that those brain, what did he say, that they were side by side? The foot and the...
Oh, the genitalia and the foot. Yeah.
So according to him, according it's to scientific. Him. Maybe, research. You know what I'm saying? The shit gene is right next to... I don't know. You know what I mean?
I ain't gonna like, yeah, like, I don't know why I like the booty hole so much. That's something that's new. Like, you know, you just... I mean, I think that it
but
has a lot to
what
do...
you're saying. Our question is more like, who was the first one? Like, who was the first one?
But, this, but all of the, probably Adam and Eve, like we talked about, they ate that goddamn fruit and went at it, bitch.
This is gonna sound weird as fuck, but can I just
that
say
seen Spartacus?
No, is it?
Where are you going with this?
It's a porn or
like about like old like
the
like
Roman times.
Roman times.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
they
yeah.
did was fuck.
Yeah,
like all
yeah.
they did was have sex, run
they,
like
they
these
didn't have
little,
internet
since like. They've been having sex. Like,
they didn't have porn. They actually had to have the sex.
Yeah, basically.
Which is why y'all know what...
The porn turned into somebody watching.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
the
like
voyeurs.
Keeping on.
Well, I was going to say, y'all know what the oldest profession is, right?
Yeah. Hoeing.
Prostitution.
Amen.
I think it's doing hair because they had to get them bitches right. They had to get them bitches right before they put them on the track. You know what I'm saying?
You know what, Dustin?
Yeah, so they, and it's, who was the first hair fucking, like, hairstyle?
Noah. They just ain't talk about it. That's how he had them hands like that to build the ark. He had been braiding hair.
Oh, my God.
He probably created weaves, too. Took
he
all the hair
did.
Off them two ponies and was like,
that's
let me get you let me get you these bundles.
I wonder if this tail fits me at...
Can you imagine get your hair sewn in with tree bark?
Don't do that.
Can
go
I just
ahead,
say
friend.
That?
That's painful.
I hate the fact that as like a gay person, you can be fetishized. But I do love the fact that you love gay sex so much. Because
I
as
do.
A woman, the fact that you just love men to be so open anyway. So it's not even a matter of gay or straight.
And I was going to say, so that's me. It's funny because that's why they told me a porn star was coming on. And I looked at Dustin like, ill straight porn? Gross. And as
yeah, but like, I'm like yeah.
shaming, but I can't
I mean,
say
so
I can't
right
say
right
it's
so
nasty
not that
to
I'm
shit
shaming,
on
so
people.
So that's just not my preference. I actually do. I identify as queer, bisexual.
Yeah.
But I do prefer to only watch gay men have sex. And that's because I think that they are more intimate.
She does.
They're passionate. They look more clean to me. They kiss. They do a lot of things that, and I think straight porn, yeah. there's just a lot of ramming. The women oftentimes don't look like they're enjoying the sex in straight porn. Not only that, I am picky with hair. And they don't be getting their hair right at all in goddamn straight porn. Sis, what do we, blend them edges, baby girl.
Oldest profession in history.
Yeah, no, so it bothers me. So there's just aesthetics that I don't like. But I guess I would want to ask you guys, not having sex with women, do you guys watch straight porn, though?
I watch MMF. And I also watch...
Okay.
And I do actually watch women peg men.
Okay. Shout out Robert Axel. He's my favorite.
Sex is sex to me, so like...
No, thank you.
No?
He looks like an old Dooney and Burke to me. Like, Robert Axel, like, if real.
Fran, what's next? Fran, where are we going
look,
next?
Right, look.
Where are we going next,
and
Fran, before Mandy
big.
Turns this into the friend zone interview?
Mm-hmm. He is your type.
Thank you.
Actually, wait, can we get into a game that I have real quick for
no,
you
we cannot. Go ahead,
no?
Fran.
Damn.
Thank you very much. I ain't finna be listing our goddamn kinks and shit.
Oh, you want to avoid that part?
Go
I got
ahead,
you. I got
friend.
You.
Oh, got up. You.
No, you don't. That's the thing. That's why I'm making sure of. I ain't got on this car. Come on, friend.
I guess I can't ask y'all no motherfucking questions. So I ain't gonna look at y'all and ask y'all
ask
no motherfucking questions.
Cut that shit off real quick.
Them.
Go ahead, yeah, friend.
The game that I wanted to play with y'all is very simple. And it's not asking questions, but there's acronyms in terms of kinks, paraphilias. And I just wanted to see if you guys could guess what these are. If you're sitting at your desk right now, if you are at your home, you know, maybe doing chores, cleaning the house, stop right now. And I want you guys to play the game with us. So I would like to know if you guys know what ATM stands for in terms of kinks.
Ass to mouth.
Yes, you got that right. I hope you guys got that right.
I'm sorry.
CBT.
I'm so bad at this.
Yeah, me too. CBT.
Yeah, I'm like...
I'm thinking in Spanish.
No, nigga, this is English.
I know
this
it
is the English channel.
Saying, like,
we are not on
like,
Telemundo.
Culo bueno.
No,
bueno.
I'm sorry, bueno. I'm like, coming but thinking.
Not
coming like, but thinking.
Shit.
Okay, yeah. So CBT is actually cock and ball torture. So this relates to maybe the biting or stomping on.
Oh, you got me all fucked up.
That's by me. All
right. Right. All right.
We already discussed MMF, which is male, male, female, male, female, male. There's all of those renditions. This one is interesting. A-N-R.
A-N-R.
Come on, sis. You did your scientific research.
A-N-R.
I mean, we're not talking anal, music, right? Because I know what that A-N-R is.
Because
a lot of people don't know.
Anal nasal retention. Maybe somebody like sniffing assholes.
So A-N-R actually is adult nursing relationship. So it's breastfeeding.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, wow.
It has to do with breastfeeding. And we did also talk about WS is water sports. The last one that I think is, well, the last.
Fucker on a boat.
This last before last, I don't even know, is TPE.
Oh, that's the label that Kendrick can
do. Don't do that. That's TDE.
Toilet paper envy.
Toilet paper eating.
TPE is total power exchange. And of course, the one that most of you guys are all familiar with is BDSM.
Yeah.
Ooh, can we? That was actually my next segue.
BDSM, I'll get into that real quick. Actually, there's a lot of different ways to break down this acronym. So it could be bondage, dominance, submission, masochism. The B and D can stand between bondage and discipline. The S and M can go between sadism and masochism. The D and S can go between dominance and submission.
That ain't
and the S and M can go between slave and master.
S-D-N-E-S.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different things that BDSM could stand for when you're discussing it with someone.
Sure,
so if you want to segue into the BDSM conversation, I don't know why. Why we spell shit the way we do. It's so fucking stupid.
It's like
Bologna. Who made that up?
Debris for debris. Look at all this Debris in the middle of this street. Go ahead,
Frank. You know what I mean?
I'm curious. Have you done BDSM in any of your videos?
Yeah. I mean, I actually got into BDSM because of porn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Like, I started doing porn and my older brother, he's into that shit, right? So check this out. Like one day he calls me, he says, "Yo, come to my house. I want to talk to you." So I go to his house. He got the girl gagged, like tied up to his closet door. And I'm like, "Bro, what the fuck are you doing?" He's like, "No, she likes that. She's on punishment right now. I'm punishing her." And I was like,
"God damn."
And I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Bitch, on time
so, like,
out.
Through my videos, like I started like, getting like actually into it. And I found myself one day with the girl tied up to the closet door. And I'm punishing her now. And like, the video's gonna come out, but I literally walked a girl, a porn star, through 42nd Street on a leash with a gag, like a dog.
Wow.
And she wanted that.
Right.
The whole time I'm like, man, I don't think I could do this just because of the reactions I'm getting from the people. But then I was like, bro, I'm a porn star. This, she wants this. Fuck it. Put the dog collar on her. I put the gag on her, and she had
knee pads,
and she was really walking through 42nd Street. Like, people were literally handing me money to take pictures with her.
Wow. I mean, that sounds like some regular 42nd Street shit.
No, in real life, I'm not gonna lie, Times Square, that makes sense.
I don't think that's some regular 42nd shit, because she was gagged like a dog.
Y'all should have went to Wall
some
Street.
Real skimpy shit.
She probably
She had like some real like.
She probably enjoyed it more than you.
No, I actually didn't enjoy it till I actually watched it.
Yeah.
Where it was like, oh shit, I'm really walking her on a leash and it's turning me on. The fact that she's being walked on a leash and I tell her bark like a dog and she goes ruff.
I wish.
And I tell her to roll. You know what's crazy?
Here you go, kink shaming again, Mandy. Here we go.
She put the shit around my neck and gagged me and she was like, "Now it's your turn." And I was like,
"That's power exchange."
Nah, SpongeBob. I actually was like,
"Oh, you was enjoying.
Oh,
you was into
shit.
It."
Like, and that's, I started finding
power,
out more.
That would be power exchange.
Yeah.
Because you then.
No, I actually did do it.
Okay, so, nice.
Yeah, you then
I
become
actually did do it. And I was barking like a dog.
For real?
I had a whole role for her.
Nice.
Like, you know, like, and the shit like turned me on. That's when I was like,
"It turned you on to bark like a dog?"
No, it turned me on the fact that she had all the power.
Mm.
And I was powerless.
That's what my men be saying.
That's what turned me on. So the guy, like all the barking and all that. Just like the power exchange of like, usually it'll be me like doing it. And now she has a chance to do it. Not because she likes it, because I want to see like what it does to me.
Right.
And it was like, oh, I like this shit.
And so you discovered a new fetish.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
Ruff, ruff.
Can I ask, how old were you when you started doing porn?
I was 18. I was actually really young. But like the thing with me is like, I never looked at porn for the money. Mm-hmm. I just looked at porn as a way of me getting on to do what I really want to do. And that's what happened. Like, I got into porn. People would tell me, you're never going to be a model, but I'm published 20 magazines as a model.
With clothes on?
Yeah, with clothes on. Oh. And people used to tell me, you're never going to be a model. So through porn, it opened a door for me to model. Mm-hmm. Oh, then nice. I was like, okay, I'm modeling, but let me get into acting. And I have acting credits. Like, you can go on IMDb, and okay, I got over 14 actor credits just because of porn. So I tell people, you guys are not open-minded. Mm-hmm. You guys are only looking at it like porn. Like, you just see me fucking, and you think my whole life revolves around porn. But I'm out here going to, like, fucking shows to mentor my mind and, like, be a better person. And I, like, try to put on people that I see the talent in to be around me. Like, bro, what are you doing? You just made this money. Go on a vacation. Go follow your dreams. What the fuck are you sitting here being around all these bum hats? All these bums. They're all bums. Like, go chase your dreams. That's what I did. I literally sat there in class and said, I'm going to be a porn star in 5 years. They all laughed at me. Everybody, they think it's stupid. They all want to be doctors, nurses, all of that. Mm. But I I'm not shaming. I'm saying like, that's why they laughed at me. That's why they laughed at me.
Okay.
For the fact that like they all had like, you know, like direct, like
different goals.
Different goals. And I was like, I'm really going to be a porn star. Mm-hmm. And they laughed at me. And then 5 years
later... You just knew you had a big dick
for a long time. It wasn't about that. It was like more of owning my... Porn is a $1 billion industry.
Yeah, it is.
1% it really of the is. Industry, you're a fucking millionaire.
It is.
Do you have a mold?
No, but I'm working on that. The thing is, when you get a mold, like, to be honest, I'm about to give people a gem right now. Mm-hmm. But instead of you going to a company to mass produce it, mm-hmm, you can, like, sell it to your real fans. And it's better to connect with your real fans and like be like, look, you're getting this personally from me, signed by me. I took the time out to make
this. You signed the dick?
Yeah, to make this for you. Like, you're gonna send me a mold, I'll buy a mold of Clone of Willy or whatever it's called for $120, but I can make 2 molds out of it. I'm making the mold. I'm sending you the video of me making the mold.
It ain't mass produced. And
now you're getting like the experience of seeing me do this for you instead of the company just sending you a penis with a signature.
Right.
You understand? So I'd rather more connect with my fans than just be this guy that like, oh, he's a porn star, yeah.
You absolutely have a definitive like entrepreneurial angle.
I've been about that.
That you've taken in your approach to like working as a porn star, someone who works in the sex industry. Yeah. You know, it sounds a little more dignified.
Of course.
But I think that's dope. I think that's a great part of the conversation to have because people automatically associate porn and working in the sex industry with being seedy or, you know, people that only come out at night and, you know, things like that. But this, I think, and this is why I actually was interested to have you come on the show and speak about it, because you have clearly taken an approach to this as this is something that I'm going to develop as a business, as a brand. I want to have ownership. You made your own website, things like that. So I would love to hear about how you've been able to maintain that as your focus as you navigate like the industry.
It's life,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You go through a lot. You meet people that are fake. You meet people that are real. You meet people that are up there that can't help you.
Yeah.
And you meet people that are not up there but are helping you more than people that are up there.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And just like, I've always had a job. Like, I don't like not doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you understand? So even
well, you're a porn star, so we know you like doing it.
No, like even
doing the porn. Never not working.
No. Like, even me doing the porn, I still worked a real job.
Yeah,
I still worked a 9-to-5.
Like, I do people recognize you at the 9-to-5?
All the time. And then they'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe you work a regular job. I'm like, I'm human. What you thought, like, porn is all I do?
It's just like any other branch of the arts.
Yeah.
And now, you mentioned having a family to feed.
Yeah.
You're married.
Yeah, I'm married.
So here's my question. You said porn introduced you to BDSM. Do you take that home?
No, because she's just not that open-minded to it. So I'm easing her into it.
So you got to keep that at work.
Yeah. No, I keep it at work. But sometimes, like, I'll bring toys around her. Like, I'll give her certain things so that she can, like, play with.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're, like, having our shit going on, like, I'll bring it in the bench. She'll be like, you're being too rough. You're like, and I'm like, all right, so you need to tell me what I need to do so you like it.
Communication.
Yeah, it's more about you.
It is.
You know, because to her, it's just like, oh, what the fuck you think? I'm a porn star? And I'm like, no, you're not a porn star. You're actually my wife. So I take this at your pace, not at mine.
Right.
Yeah, because most girls say that, like, when it's not a porn girl, like, before, like, I was with my wife and I was doing porn, like, girls would be like, what the fuck you think? I'm a porn star? Like, you're trying to, like, work me out? I'm like, nah, this is just me. Like, you guys, to you guys, you think this is porn. But when you're watching a porn, that's really me.
How do you turn off from being this kind of, you know, sex deviant, especially with your equipment?
Yeah.
It's pretty large. What you're asked to do on the camera, how do you scale that down into actually making love with your wife and not just having
it's
sex?
It's simple. This is not, for example, in a porno, it's like, all right, this is Perenceja. Hey, Perenceja, how you doing? My name is such and such.
Oh, that's a name.
I'm just saying. That means English. Like, you know, I'm just saying like a regular, like, whatever. So I'll show her my porn test, which is like my STD test. She shows me her test. We'll get acquainted within the time that the cameraman is putting up everything in the everything. But we don't know each other. There's no type of feelings or emotions from me towards you.
Okay.
It's just, I know I'm gonna get this bread. If I don't pop and the shit don't look right, I ain't getting paid. So let's make it look right. Let's get it right. And let's not do like back up. We got to cut. Let's just run through it.
Wait, can I ask you something you just said? If it doesn't go well, you don't
get
paid?
If you nut before the shot, you don't get paid.
Shut the fuck up.
So look, I've been. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, this porn shit is not a game. Like, if, for example, it's me and him, right? So I come through, my shit ain't getting up, my shit ain't working, my shit is taking me long, and I gotta go in, dip in, and just leave. But he's just there, just chilling. They'll be like, yo, my man, you could slang, and he'll pull through and just slam everything, kill it, do everything right, and now he just took me out of my job. Because I wasn't ready. And he was just there, nonchalant, just.
Wow.
So.
It's a business for real.
You know, no, it's really a business, so. In regards to your question, it's like, my wife is my wife. We have feelings. We have emotions towards each other. Like, we've been through shit. Certain music turns, like, reminds me of her, like, vice versa. Certain things, like, you feel me? And opposed to, like, this girl, I just, man, yeah, I may be cool with you, but we don't have that connection like that. So it's just porn. It's just porn.
So you compartmentalize.
Yeah, but you always got to make sure that even though it's still porn, you want to give your best.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You want to have the best performance. You want to.
Well, you're an actor.
Of course.
Because you do have fans.
No, it's crazy.
Fans.
I've been doing this since 18. I'm 32.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So you got you some real fans.
Yeah.
And how does your wife feel about your career?
Like, she supports it. She's actually my makeup artist.
That's amazing. 18?
How long have y'all been together?
11 years.
And how long have y'all been married?
11 years.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
From the gut.
Wow.
So Dominican.
Yeah.
Right? How y'all meet on day one and get married
Now, you know what it was? Her cousin is actually my best friend. And like,
okay.
I introduced him to her. They didn't even know there was family.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah, till I was like...
Wait.
All right, you're going to get...
Please.
Let me get through it quick. Right?
Yeah, real
so,
quick, please.
Dominicans drink a lot. They be drunk and shit. So when they were brothers, the parents of the people I'm talking to, they went to immigration, and when they signed their names... One of the parents was drunk as fuck. So the last letter of their name is with an O. The nigga that was drunk put it with an A. So part of her family, her last name is with an O. And the other part is with an A. Just off the parent being so drunk that he wrote the O like an A. So I introduced them. They're like, oh, your last name is with an O and your last name is with an A. Y'all cousins. Oh, no. Then this person said that person's name. Oh, that's my uncle. Oh, that's my uncle. Forget it. Now that you get it?
This is some New York shit
awesome
if I ever heard it.
Wow.
So reeling it back, because I don't know
Thank
where
you,
we
friend.
Just went. So I was reading that BDSM couples that actually partake in it have better communication.
1,000%.
Less neurosis, are way more open with one another, That's and right. able to communicate their needs, and even were more sensitive, which is what you were saying about the kind of porn you like to watch.
Yeah, so the thing with BDSM is there are your kind of communicating your roles. So you do have normally a dominant force and a submissive force, and sometimes you can switch. However, BDSM does deal with things that can cause harm. as in, like, you know, the choking, the roughness, and the things that are associated to where you have to have safe words. So if I like to get pain, I still have a cutoff as to where I can't. If I like to be choked, I need to be able, you need to be able to know when you're choking me too hard.
Safe
words. So you're, you know, there's the safe words. There's the communication of, if you did something and it didn't feel good, I need to be able to communicate with you after, listen, we, I don't really think we should do that again. I didn't like when you did this. And the thing is, when you don't have that level of communication with your partner, you find yourself having sex and not enjoying it because you don't know how to communicate that you don't like something. And it's funny, if you guys watch Euphoria, I think it's funny because as we have a porn star in the room and we're talking about how much porn does affect, you know, even our lives in the bedroom, there's a scene where he goes to choke the girl he's about to have sex with. And she almost in a panic is like, what are you doing? And in his mind, he thinks that's how he's supposed to have sex because that's what he sees in the porn. And she didn't like that at all. And so I think that that's just a part of sex that we need to bring in outside the one-night stands like we talked to. I talked about how much I want to talk about what I like in sex before I have sex with somebody. And so I think that that needs to happen. I'm sure, do you guys have safe words in porn? Are there things that as porn?
No, actually, it's not about more of a safe word. It's about more like before we start shooting, like it's more of a, what are you like and what are you, like, yeah, what are your do's and what are your don'ts?
Right.
It's more of that. And then she'll go, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like that. And then off of that, then you good.
You know, I'm sad because I want to ask Dustin what he like and don't like, but I can't. He,
but you know better. Finish going, kind of man.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I think also porn, because it's something that's so based upon like categories. I'm sure there's intentions behind the shoots.
Of course.
You know, we want this actor or this actress who does, you know, this type of pornography. So there's a science behind
like
it.
A lot of people shame you. Like I said earlier, it's like, most people will be like, oh, when you gonna do a gay porno? When are you gonna do a gay video? Or when are you gonna be in a video with such and such?
When this is that coming?
I'm like, actually, that's not what I like. That's not what I'm into. Like, I'm open with my sexuality. That's not what I like. That's not what I'm into. Like, if I was into it and that's what I would like, then yeah, why not do it?
It's weird because
don't put your insecurities on me.
But I think when you think of porn stars, you think that they are just doing it for the money.
Yeah.
So why are you not doing everything for the money? Like, and there is actually a whole category called gay for pay.
Of course.
And it's where they're supposed to be straight, you know, passing men, and that they get tricked or they get persuaded into sex off of money.
All the time.
And so when I think of porn stars, I'm not going to lie, I do feel like, why else would you do it outside of the money, I guess? That's me. So I'm saying, if in my mind you're performing porn for money, why would you not do all sorts of sex acts for money?
That's in your mind. But look, in my mind, okay, I'm doing porn, but it's not for the money.
Right. You also have to be aroused.
As a male performer, you have to be aroused anyway.
Of course.
So if something's just not your thing, then your thing ain't going to be a thing.
Yeah.
So you have to, you know.
That's what he means. Like for example, my friend right now, he owns a porn company. Like, he was like, yo, you want to be in one of the most revolutionary scenes that we're about to shoot? I'm like, nah, I'm good. You know what the scene was? MMF. Two guys and one girl. And, like, they were just, and the shit is selling like hotcakes. That's what they're into.
Right.
That doesn't turn me on for me. No offense to whoever likes it, but that's what you like. And I respect it. You're never going to hear me sit here and be like, oh, nah. Everybody got their sexual preference.
Agreed.
You know?
No kink shaming.
Yeah, no kink shaming. Like, I used to be like, are you crazy? I'll never get my ass ate. Till I had a girl, like, just forcefully, like, throw my legs
not
back.
Forcefully?
No,
because now that's right.
Like,
calm down,
like,
that's right.
She was not forcefully, but, like, she was, like, performing oral sex on me and just, like, slowly, like, lifting my legs up. And in my head, I'm like, are my legs lifting or am I bugging out?
My legs lifting, nigga. No, you do.
I'm drunk. I'm lit. And then she did it, and it was like,
the best thing you've ever felt.
That shit felt good.
Best
so there we go.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. So dialing back, Francesca.
So I actually do want to bring it back to the BDSM conversation because I feel like we didn't really fully touch on it. But I do love the idea that it even said socioeconomic charts show that people actually Why you make that face?
Because I want to know how you about to bring in someone's salary to BDSM.
They said that they noticed the people that they interviewed, the data that people actually make more money. People that are into BDSM. Mm-hmm.
So it's
which
funny.
I thought was interesting.
It makes sense, but I think it has more to do with that power dynamic. When you have someone who's making a lot of money, 9 times out of 10, they're in higher positions in their jobs. Mm. And so a lot of times when you get into the bedroom, you don't want to face reality. You want to insert yourself into a different reality, which is where you get the pay pigs, which is where you get men wanting to be in latex, and or where you want men being stepped on, and all of these dynamics where they're exuding so much power in their regular life, they want all of that power stripped from them. That's a lot of times by women, because that's not something that we see in even, you know, our day-to-days or 9-to-5s. Mm. We have CEOs, we see men. I mean, that's just what it is. Even when you look at the pay dynamic in America and how women just statistically make less money than men. So you do bring into that dynamic, which on the other flip side, women wanting to feel power in bed because we play such a submissive role as wives, as girlfriends, as mothers, and taking on the roles of submissive roles in the job. Are you raising your hand?
No, I'm just saying that you hit that shit right on the nail.
Like,
you're absolutely right. Like, I know, like, again, before I was married and everything, like, I knew girls that, like, had higher power, and, like, they were in this position of, like, they, everybody just went to them to, for them to, like, yo, you need to do this, you need to do that. They were the boss. But in bed, they're like, no, you need to shit on, like, you know, like, shit. Me, not shit on
shit.
Me, like,
but dominate,
you know, dominate me, whoa. Like, slap me, throw far. Me. Throw me around, and I would be like, why? But then the older I got, seeing that she's in this position where she's everybody's boss and she tells people, like, you do this, you do that, she wants to be told that. And everybody's scared.
I don't even think it's that deep. Y'all know what I think it is.
Here you go. Here you go, Dustin with a Dustin.
Here he goes.
That equipment is expensive. Shit, leather is expensive. You know what I'm saying? So you got to have, you got to be bringing in the money to support the habit. That's what I think it is. Them whips and chains and shit, that's money.
I was about to say, baby boy, you could go to Rainbow and get the pleather or use them goddamn belt chains as chains. Facts. And take one of them, you know, headscarves as a goddamn blindfold.
Yep.
So there's ways to get BDSM. Look, for the low.
Keep I ain't going to let nobody broke fuck around with me and beat my ass.
Listen, keep on with the household items list, okay? Everybody's going to be like, toothbrush.
Yeah. It's simple, bro.
I told y'all I had someone, like, send me a video. Oh, can I not share that here?
No, please. Go ahead. Be yourself.
So he was a college student at the time, so this is probably why he didn't have the money. But he sent me a video of a condom on the tip of his wave brush. And he,
wow.
And he put his wave brush in his booty hole as a dildo.
Okay.
And I guess it was also to keep him from getting splinters in his butt.
But you think they weren't going to cut the condom?
So I was like, that
I didn't
work?
Think about that. But
it's the other side.
But yeah,
the handle side.
Yeah, it's the handle side. Yeah. It's the handle side.
Like, I can like vouch in on that. Like, I had a girl, like, with her toothbrush. You see those electrical ones? Like, she, like, took off the top and she, like, played with her clitoris.
Oh, wow.
With like the, you know, like the shit that vibrates.
Right. She was people so I was, creative.
I was like, I was so like, funny. Whoa, like.
Talk about oral hygiene.
Yeah, like.
This is hygiene, right?
Like, she literally just brushed her pussy.
Wow.
Not brushed her pussy. Well, he brushed his booty hole technically too with the wave.
You know, it's a BDSM is a $9 billion industry.
Bring it back, friend.
They talking about brush that stinking monkey.
Yeah. Like, you see when you started that, you said, like, you seen somebody in a latex. Like, I seen somebody like that, and he had like a
tube.
A straw. Yeah.
Just
a straw in his mouth.
His whole body was.
And I was like, that is amazing. A person's willing to
and
lose
that gives
breath
me so much anxiety. Get,
you know? A nut.
And
oh,
it
yeah,
was like,
ooh,
hey,
my chest gets tight.
It is what it is.
I'm dead thinking about that.
In a latex outfit.
Look, with just a straw to breathe,
I would freak out.
I am
out.
A heavy breather. Like, I need both nostrils and sometimes my mouth too. But
that,
I only have the straw.
I'm not going to lie. Every time I get sick and can't breathe out my nose, yeah, I'll be like,
I'm upset.
Damn, I really take advantage of my nose.
Same.
I can't breathe.
I'm saying I'm coming down with a cold. I feel latexy. I don't know what's going on. know what's coming out with a latex. I don't know.
Is there anything though with kinks and fetishes that you feel that we have not covered in this episode? For those who might be curious, who might be curious.
I think it's just important for not only not to shame Dustin, but I think it's important to just have these conversations with your partners, whether they are just fuck buddies, whether you guys are in limbo, whether it's your husband of 20 years, whether, you know, it's, you know, whether you're even in a non-monogamous relationship. I think that what you're into just needs to be discussed and communicated with all partners. This is what I'm into. Are you into it? And if they're not into it, that's fine. Just know that whoever you're with doesn't have to be completely into everything that you're into.
Right. And discuss it early.
Early as fuck.
I'm not, you know, I don't do the water sports, but, you know, I don't have the sheets or equipment for that either.
I sure
so
don't.
You can't be doing that.
Not the equipment.
No, because I'm just saying, it's my bed.
If you had the equipment, you would.
No, but it would at least be
that's
like,
why I love hotel
it would at least be like, well, at least I ain't got to come home to this, or I don't got to change the sheets in the mattress, goddamn, because I'm not doing that.
True.
If you come in here next week smelling like syrup when we record, if he come in here smelling like Miss Butterworth, I know something. I'll be like, friend, he didn't got the equipment. It's a drop cloth somewhere in this nigga apartment.
That is hilarious.
Describe your style in one word. Simple, sophisticated, adventurous. However you dress, the stylist at Stitch Fix can help you find your favorite new piece. Stitch Fix is an online personal styling service that delivers your favorite clothing, shoes, and accessories directly to you. First, you complete a style profile, then an expert personal stylist will send you a hand-picked box of items based on your preferences. They have solutions for men, women, kids, and everyone else all over the U.S., and now even in the U.K. With no subscription required, you can pick between automatic shipments or only getting new shit on demand. Shipping, exchanges, and returns are always free. Plus, the $20 styling fee is automatically applied towards everything you keep from your box. Stitch Fix works for me. It works for you. I actually use Stitch Fix to get some basics. I'm really into like basic pieces, so like solid color button downs. You know what I'm saying? Like turtlenecks, things like that. Monochromatic looks, those work for me. And I got this blue shirt that I call my action shirt. It's a navy blue button down shirt. And I swear to God, if I put this on, the deal is closing and the legs are opening. So shout out to Stitch Fix. You can get started today at stitchfix.com/friendzone and get an extra 25% off when you keep everything in your box. That's stitchfix.com/friendzone for an extra 25% off when you keep everything in your box. stitchfix.com/friendzone.
We all need someone to talk to. A person who can support us through rough patches or even the everyday ups and downs of life. And that's where Talkspace comes in. Talkspace is therapy for how we live today. Mobile, affordable, and available when you need it. Simply provide your preferences for therapy and Talkspace will match with one of their 5,000 plus therapists the very same day. Then you can send your therapist unlimited text, audio, picture, or video messages from anywhere at any time. And 1 month of therapy on the Talkspace platform costs about the same amount as a single face-to-face session. No matter what you're going through, you're not alone. Join more than 1 million who feel happier with Talkspace. I've read your reviews. I've read the emails and all the feedback that those of you listening have left about your interactions with Talkspace, and they have all been positive. So I can for sure co-sign Talkspace as therapy for how we live today. Like they said, with more than 5,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing the challenges we all face, to match with your perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com and use the code ZONE to get $65 off your first month to show your support for the show. That's ZONE at Talkspace.com. But I do think it's a valid conversation because I have been with partners who have expressed being interested in things that I just wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hell no.
But they were so like, and you know, I'm very open. So I'm like, if you have to get that elsewhere, do what you got to do. But they'd be like, no, but I want that from you.
I think the number one question that we get is, how do I bring up this to my partner?
Yeah, yes.
Right. How do I bring this up? Especially if, say, like, you know, y'all have maybe had this conversation in passing and you know, damn, he really probably not going to piss on me, but this is something I really want to bring up and that I'm really into. How do I do it without him or her feeling some type of way? And I like to, well, I like to take the blame. Honestly, I like to, you can either blame a sex podcast or you could blame porn or the group chat. I say blame the group chat and just say,
why? So you can hate your friends too?
That's fine.
Blame me.
But be like, yo, they sent this in the group chat today. What you think about it?
I think your friends is hoes. No, I'm just playing.
but sending a video, maybe watching it together, and just being like, damn, I kind of want to try that. Is this something we could just try? Like, you know.
And what the fuck you doing with this shit on your phone? Now what you say then?
That's what I'm into,
it's
man.
Free. I was on Twitter.
I didn't know how to bring it to you.
I think that's funny, but I also think that that's what stops a lot of people from having that very conversation that you're encouraging them
right.
to have.
Scared.
Because they are afraid of
they're
being
afraid.
Judged, being rejected, yeah. of losing the relationship mm-hmm. that they're in. You know what I'm saying? There, even though we're mature enough and advanced enough in our worldview to be able to like facilitate a conversation like this.
Course, right.
But let's be honest, the things that we are discussing are extreme
right.
for most people in their sexual lives. So before
I'm
you
one.
Say,
but you got to understand their experiences.
We need to talk more about what we can say to people to encourage them to be fearless, I guess, when they have that conversation, because that will stop you.
What you're saying, this is the friend zone, and I think that you guys do focus on mental health awareness. And for those people who feel like they are trapped in a bubble with their sexuality, really deal with a lot of mental demons and feeling like they have to hide who they are and they can't express who they are. I think that's a big thing even with sexuality as a spectrum and in general with how you identify. And so what you're saying is valid, because you will probably receive a response that is not what you want.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think that getting out what you want, if you can't get it from that partner, you really realizing that if this is something you can't be without and this person's not willing to experience
that
then maybe the conversation now of non-monogamy, bringing other partners into the relationship, or you walking away
mm-hmm.
are ideas that you have to face with. Because I think at the end of the day, your mental health is the most important, but also being true to yourself
and
not conforming to what someone wants you to be.
And if you're into chaps, you can walk away with your ass out. Go ahead, friend. What's your next point, baby?
I hate you so much.
You did that. So what I love is that a psychiatrist was saying that the real psychological damage, isn't concealing your desires. So I love that Mandy brought that up. So suppressing the fetish does more damage than having the fetish
100%.
Itself.
100%, yes.
So I do think people should communicate, but I wonder how it's easier said than done. You know what I mean? And I think what I have, the challenges I've faced, I should say, is couples or my partners being like, it has to be with you though.
Do you want to know the crazy part? I think the fear that most of us have in terms of everything is hearing the word no.
Being rejected.
That's it.
Yep.
Once you get past the fear of, if you have in your mind, this person is going to tell me no. Okay, how do I respond past no? And can I fully accept hearing no? Then those fears that you're saying are eliminated. I say this for even women who don't know how to ask for money. They don't know how to ask for the relationship to be more. It's literally all in the fact that both men and women fear rejection.
Right.
And so once you literally maybe, you know, train yourself to be able to accept no. Oh, I be asking for the world now. And if you tell me no, okay,
bye.
You tell me no. Even all right. On. That's literally what it is. And
right.
so it's not the fear. And yes, judging and all of that is involved, but it literally is the idea of rejection that I think a lot of us need to get over. But that's from, you know, that comes back from elementary school and, you know, us not getting what we want as being, at, you know, we want this toy, we want this candy. Like from literally childhood, we just don't literally ever learn how to condition ourselves to accept no.
Mm.
And also people being afraid of being viewed as weird or deviant.
No kink shaming. Mm-hmm. No kink shaming.
See,
it's all good.
I'm not a kink shamer. I'm very tolerant. But that's not to say that I need all the kinks. Like, I'm very much the school of, like, not everything is for me. But at the same time, I guess it depends on how deep in the relationship I am before I can say, because I'm hearing you say, like, all right, well, maybe not with me. Like, because if someone says to you, like, oh, well, this is my kink, but I have to do it with you, that would be a problem. But I don't know if I know every relationship for me. And a lot of relationships, I might say, well, go do that somewhere else. I don't know if every relationship for me is going to be like a go do that somewhere else. Because right. depending on the kink, I might be like, well, we can't even be together.
Okay. I mean, outside of necrophilia and pedophilia and those type of
right,
things.
Right, because those type, of, saying, yeah, cause those type of things, I'm like, oh, hell to the motherfucker. No, we are done. But there are some kinks I'm like, oh, okay, well, you're never doing this to me. But, you know, maybe you can go call up your homegirl or homeboy, whoever you used to do that with, and, you know, relive that. But it's never happening over here. Like, I think one thing I like is for someone to tell me up front what the fuck is up. But because, it, you know, certain kinks, people aren't comfortable doing that.
Of course.
But I'm super tolerant and wanting people to be able to talk to me about anything. But it's also like, that don't mean I'm accepting of everything.
And I don't think you have to be accepting of it. Mm-hmm. But it's creating that dialogue, letting the person you're with have the choice. I think that that's something we also eliminate when we don't have conversations.
Give me the choice.
You literally eliminate the choice of that person to want to deal with you or not.
So you mean like tell them like, okay, so since you told me you like, you know, people shitting on you, you have a choice to either
you can
stop
leave or
doing
say,
it
yeah.
or get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, like so, or to me, like I've dealt with men who have dealt with trans women or men who have maybe experimented at one point or another.
What you mean experimented?
With other men or trans women
you
or
be
thought
clear,
they
girl.
Just
we talking about a
yeah,
lot
they,
of bullshit.
Yeah, they've
tonight.
Been they've been curious as far as even their sexuality and that is actually a kink being, mm-hmm. you know, or cross dressing and all of those things. Mm-hmm. And when they've opened up to me about these things, one of the first questions I ask them is, do the other women in your life know this about you? Do your ex-girlfriends know this about you? And for a lot of them, I am one of the first people that they've been open to express this to. Mm-hmm. And immediately, that's where my disgust comes into, because it's almost like you didn't give those women even a chance to know who you were and to decide if they wanted to continue dealing with you. And if this is a part of you, I think it's important for you to share that with someone and decide if that's who they want to be with or not.
Now, how tolerant of that are you, though? Because, you know, society is not set up for where men can be open about a lot of that stuff.
And I say that a lot of that is to blame on women. Mm-hmm. And I think that we put it on society. But it's really we as women who, especially in a day and age where we are sexually liberated and we want men to take us with our body, our high body counts. And we want men to take us after we fuck them on the first night. And we have all of these things as women that we want men to accept from us.
I don't know. My phone is tripping. I'm
it's
sorry,
fine.
Y'all.
It's fine. You got
I
it?
I literally wasn't touching this bitch.
So. It's cool. It's cool. You got a booty call tonight?
No, that was actually escape. The boner goes down.
No, I feel like it's our responsibility as women to allow specifically Black men mm-hmm. to experience and open up about their sexualities without us judging them. And I feel like that's why we do have the DL. That is why we have our Black men who are hiding their kinks, their sexualities from us, because we're not open enough to accept what they want. Although we want them to be very much open with everything that we want to do, our past, and accept even what we want in the present. Mm-hmm. So I think it's our responsibility as Black women to sit here and say, Black man, don't hurt. Black man, don't hide who you are. Tell me and let me embrace you, because I sit here and want you to be my king. And so I'm going to take every part of you. I'm not going to sit here and shame you for it or expose you and put you into a society that already deems you as below them in any way, shape, or form. So I think it's us that need to
that be that. Also has to do with the way they were raised as well.
Yes.
All of
know,
that needs to be.
A lot of us was raised with parents, don't be gay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you were brought up already getting taught these things or getting taught, don't be bringing no gay niggas in my house. Like
as
the
a
fuck
woman,
does my friend have
but
to
I was gonna
do?
Say that,
was
that's
gonna say,
a woman's responsibility,
but
even
I was
as
gonna,
a mom.
Yeah, I was like, gonna say, like, one of the things that it's weird, because one of the things that I admire so much about you is that you care so much about men being free about their
I
sexuality.
Do so much.
But I also like hate the fact that women sometimes, you know, have to be responsible for a man's healing, because men are brought up in this image that they have to do so much to be so masculine, yep. or they have to provide, or they have to be the man of the house. But women have to, they see that image and they support that. They're like, okay, well, I'm just going to be a housewife while the man does this and supports this. So like when a man comes to them with a kink, it's like, well, men don't act like that. Men don't ask to have their ass licked. Like men don't ask to be sexually pleased this way. Men only just take. They don't ask or share feelings or share. Like, it's funny, and it's, I'm so conflicted hearing you talk, because it's like, I agree with you, and I'm so happy to hear a woman wants a man to be free, but it also sucks to hear that a woman has to take on the same shit that men are being told by society and say, I don't accept this, I reject this.
I just think it goes back to even gender reveals and putting blue for men, pink for women.
Yeah.
It goes literally back to that. You're because right. even before we know how to speak, as men, you're not supposed to cry. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to show feelings. Mm-hmm. And so that's conditioned into men very freely. Not only that, as far as sexuality, we're deemed as beings who are now no longer pure or dirty for having sex.
Or you're always a submissive.
And men are pushed to have sex as early as possible. And so I think it's those narratives in the household that need to be changed from start. So right. It's not only just a woman needing to take on the responsibility of
society as a whole.
But it's a whole thing. Yeah. Like, we need to take out the fact that, yes, men can cry. Men can have feelings. And yes, women can have sex and still be wifey material if they fucked you on the first night. Like, all of these constructs surrounding sex, emotions, and just literally are how we are as human beings. We are wired a certain way. And I think we're more alike than what we seem, you know, what society wants us to be.
What society makes it seem.
Right, that's like it. You in the shit.
It's like, she'll play with a Barbie, but I play with a Transformer. It's still a doll.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It's so even still stuff a doll. Like that, yeah. Right?
She's playing with a Barbie and I'm playing with
like
a ball.
Like if y'all switch them, it's literally it's no different.
There's no different.
Like the imagination is still involved. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
So which goes back to like, I had little cousins. They play with Barbies. I can't play with a Barbie. So my little cousin wants me to play with her. My dad come, you can't play with that Barbie. You're a man.
But what's crazy
about... She wants me to play with her. That's my family. I love her. I'll play with the fucking Barbie or whatever it is just to satisfy her.
And right. What's wrong with you exactly, for bringing that? Like,
yeah.
But what y'all are saying is, I think, the sickness in us altogether.
Yes.
When you think of, I don't want you playing with a Barbie, it's because you automatically go into, okay, you playing with a Barbie makes you gay. Gay is sex with
the same sex. Lead on.
As children, why are we caring why are we putting these ideas of sex onto children?
Yes. But not even gay, because you can't even, you know, I feel like society puts it as just less than.
Yeah.
Like if you're a man that plays with dolls, you're less than. You're not a man. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
So like if you're a woman that wants to take control of power, you're not trying to be submissive. You're too much. You're angry or whatever those kinds of stuff. So like there's these different things that come in these multitude of ways. So like when it comes down to sex and trying to communicate sexually, how the fuck do you do that?
It's not easy. Yeah. It's not. And none of this is easy. Like, I appreciate Fran for bringing me on to have this conversation. I think that, you know, on my show, we talk about it in a lighthearted, comedic way. Sex is funny. You know, I was eating out pussy and got farted in the face and kept going. So, you know, shit is funny. things can be funny, or like things can also be messy. You have an anal sex. Now you got to look at the skid mark on the sheet. Yep. Now what? We're looking like, ew, but you know, so, but it's all things that I think that we need to just become more comfortable with. Right. Yep.
She right.
You know, but I appreciate this conversation, but I do think that a lot of people outside of battling anxiety, which is something that, oh my God, I'm battling insanely right now. There's anxiety, there's depression, there's all these other forms of mental health that are discussed and being pushed out into the narrative with this super force of mental health awareness that I don't think people are focusing on the distress of or keeping inside your desires sexually and the effect that that's having on a lot of people, not only with their sexuality, but with just the release on how they want to please themselves.
And how much of your life that would transcend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once you start opening up, even just with your sexuality and your partner, that will suddenly lead into your jobs and you start auditing your life as a whole, and then 100%. Everything will feel different.
It's like more about being like accepted for who you are.
Like fully.
Yeah, like fully accepted. Because sometimes people be like, oh, I'm like, I have friends who are gay, they like men, they like women, bisexual. I don't care. That's you. I have to respect what you like.
Yeah, I don't know and why we're so same, focused like, on what people
we'll
do in the
bedroom. We'll be in a circle. No,
right.
No. I'm honestly
no, no, I don't care either. But I'm saying we'll have friends of like friends that's been together for 15.
Yeah.
And then like this friend will be like, nigga, you fucking. And I'll be like, yo, bro, bro, chill, bro. Like, what you doing? You don't know if that person's going through something in his home right. or if he's suicidal and he has anxiety and he just won't need somebody to talk to. You can't come to him like that.
Right.
At the end of the day, we grew up with that. That's our friend.
Right.
Yeah. Don't do that. Because you might be in a position where he might come and be like, oh, you this. You're not going to like it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So let's stop being so judgmental. And let's just respect everybody's feelings, sexuality. Just respect everybody's boundaries. Respect what everybody likes. And don't be commenting on what fucking, what she likes or you like or he likes or he likes.
Right.
Just respect
him. I like that ring on your finger.
And y'all go watch his 11-inch sword.
Yeah, everybody could watch it. I mean, like, I don't...
No, and Asante's point, I love too, because I have, you know, I'm super open-minded. One thing that I am is a very good listener. Mm-hmm. A lot of my partners have always said that they felt safe being their full selves with
I
me, which
feel
is
safe
like
with
that.
You, friend.
Right, it's the highest compliment. To me, that's the highest compliment. But like you said, there's not very much healing that I can do for people.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
That's it. I can provide the space for them to figure it out, but I can't do it myself.
Yeah.
And I do think there have been partners where even if I was open-minded about certain things, there was still the anxiety, the hesitation, and the fear.
They were only going to do so much
that
work.
That they could do so much because it was so indoctrinated at this point. Mm-hmm.
I had a partner, and I'll share this before we get out of here, but I did have a partner who I was damn near in love with. And he grew up in the church, like, you know, was very well put together in society as far as his job and everything. And he fought the idea of him being attracted to trans women. That was something that, you know, we had the conversation about, he opened up to me about, and he was like, do you know I brought a white woman home and my mama almost beat my ass for bringing a white woman home? What are the thoughts of me bringing a trans woman home? And he right. even identified that he would be okay with being, you know, with a trans woman and going out and being in the open, but his fear was losing his family because they grew up in the church.
Right.
And that led to alcoholism, depression, anxiety. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I even took him to, if you're in the New York City area, this isn't an ad, but it's a place called Fairy Tales. And
they know it ain't an ad on this.
Okay,
show.
it's in Hell's Kitchen. But I took him there as it like, if this is what you want to do, let's
what
go.
Is,
like,
wait, what's Fairy Tales?
So Fairy Tales is a trans strip club.
Okay.
But it's a place that you can go and there's women dressed with very little clothing that will dance for you.
Okay.
Have conversations with you. And there's a bar. It's like, you know, it's a strip club with trans. And so I brought him there just to like let him know like I was inviting, you know, to you being interested in
supporting,
that.
Supporting, yeah.
And still, that wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because there were demons within himself that didn't fully even want to accept
and
what
then
he was uncomfortable
back.
With.
So
himself.
It's not for you. You can sit there and be a listener. You can sit there and even support your partner.
But it goes,
but
way,
it goes
deeper.
Way deeper into that. And so if you're with a partner who's expressing this to you and is still battling with it within himself, there are times to where like you may just have to step away because those are demons that you can't help him fight. Mm-hmm. Those are demons that only he or she has to work on within themselves.
Yeah. So what the fuck you supposed to do then?
Oh yeah, I left that nigga.
Step
I
away.
Said, let me know when you're ready.
Find
I mean,
your unicorn.
Find yourself.
Well, he
before.
Should probably try therapy. He needs
100.
Oh, he's in therapy.
Right,
he's in therapy.
You also got
clinical advice to help him work through where that stems from that he doesn't feel
you
comfortable.
Know? No, agreed.
Himself.
But also, I think that is the fear with sexuality with kinks is the fear of your family. And unfortunately, you're not fucking your family, hopefully.
Any relationship that's important to you, the fear of losing
them,
that is what hinders people from being completely transparent.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think you touched on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I didn't tell my parents I did porn. Until I realized they kicked me the fuck out. They left me on my own because that's what they had to do for me to become a man.
Honestly.
And for me to like hold my own. And now I'm paying my parents for everything my parents got.
Outside of even kinks.
But,
I know it was probably hard to talk about doing porn because I've met so many people that have done porn. I'm just like, cool. But I've also met so many people that are like, oh, they do porn.
And
they're just so like, they care so much about it. And I'm just like, well, shit, like you watch porn, don't you? That's how you fucking know. You support it, be happy, ask for autograph, whatever the fuck you want.
It's like I was trying to tell you earlier.
Yeah.
I knew a girl, like she followed me on the gram. She had like all these followers. She likes like 1,000 of my pictures, right? Mm-hmm. But then she goes, oh, you're a porn star? I'm sorry. I'm going to have to take my likes and my follows back.
Who says that?
What does mean being a porn star make you take away your you following me and your likes? Like, I'm still human just like you.
Because
you don't want to be known that you're a freak and that you like this type of shit that I'm doing and you have important people following. So you got to make me feel like shit to make yourself feel better.
And to bring a silver lining to that story, shout out to Instagram for removing the activities tab.
Thank God.
So now she can like your pictures in peace. Yep. Go ahead, friend.
Yep. Thank God.
Can I just say, friend, on a more PG-related note, that's why one of the reasons I love Maya, like, she is shameless Maya. She's removing the shame of her talking about sex because people are too damn prudish.
Especially as a Christian.
Right. They're too damn prudish as Christians to even think about, like, anything sexual, let alone the damn word. So when I look at people that have kinks, like, I don't want to shame nobody because they feel the type of way. Everything is not for me. But that also means, that's why I like people to say up front, like, oh, I'm into this. So I can be like, oh, that ain't my speed. But, you know, like, that's what you up to. Like, you know, we can still be friends, whatever. Which is one of the other reasons that I enjoy you, Mandy, is because you're real good about saying, like, oh, well, we're not doing this. But it doesn't mean, like, a complete cutoff. Because sometimes I'm
You're not talking
like
about,
that.
Are you talking about dark liquor?
I mean, in general.
Oh, because that's what I thought you
were. In the back.
Tequila and vodka, right?
Exactly.
Well, I'm grateful that we could even have this conversation because I know that it's a little, you know,
uncomfortable,
a little edgy,
especially for us.
But if it's the friend zone, that means we have to cover all
everything.
Bases, even the ones that might be uncomfortable or unpopular on a platform like this. So I'm super glad, Mandy, that you would come.
Thank
on.
You. Well done.
And McConaughey Man.
Thank
My
you
pleasure.
For your perspective.
Anytime.
I think it was awesome to have the Anytime. Both of you. And Mandy's amazing, huh?
Thank you.
They both are.
I love you guys.
I'm at all two sides of the coin.
I feel like I see y'all weekly, honestly, at this point. We have really been hanging out weekly. What? You're not over me, baby.
I am.
No.
You were just in my house.
I want to thank you guys for having me, bringing me on again, even inviting me to the Friend Zone Live. I appreciate that. I guess, am I dropping?
Drop
everything. All right, guys. If you enjoyed, you know, this conversation, there's a lot more like it over at Horrible Decisions. We are literally on all platforms that you listen to your favorite podcast. You type in whore, we pop up. Also, if you guys maybe are looking for a date night or a night out with your friends, we are going on tour as well.
And it's a big
thank you.
Tour.
Okay. We are going on a 17 city tour, including Jamaica.
Jamaica?
Yes, you coming to Jamaica?
Is it at Hedonism?
So that's one of the resorts.
Oh, I'm not coming to Jamaica.
So I guess I'll make the announcement here. We're making the announcement this week. But Horrible Decisions will be doing not only a live show, but we'll be integrating our brand into Mocha Fest 2020 at Jamaica, in Jamaica. So you can go to mochafest.com, use promo code HORRIBLE for $50 off of your booking. Also, if you guys do want to see us live here in the States, tickets are available right now for Philly, DC, and Boston. We are hitting Philly at the TLA. That is on November the 6th. We are doing Howard Theater in DC on November the 8th, which is a Friday, so come out and turn out. And then we will also be at the Somerville Armory on December 12th. Also, if you guys are in the DC area, I will be hosting a love and relationship panel at the Love Jones Cafe on October 23rd. So that's next Wednesday. Come and join me. There's dinner, there's drinks. It's going to be a good time. There's live R&B and poetry. I appreciate all of you guys. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. There's a lot going on. You guys can follow me at Full Court Pumps everywhere. And I'm going to go ahead and pass the mic now. That sounded like a lot. So I hope you guys...
You did great.
Literally just visit horribledecisions.com for tickets and my Instagram at Full Court Pumps for
and
all of the other
info. And I'll make sure and tag everything.
Horrible with a W.
Thank you. Horrible with a W-H-O-R-E.
McConaughey, man, I want to hear about where I can follow off your
site. You can follow me on Twitter. The Makana X-Man. You can follow me on Instagram, The Real Makana X-Man. I have a website, which is themakanaman.com. You can follow me on X Videos on the Makana Man, Pornhub on the Makana Man,
nice.
XNXX on the Makana Man. If you would like to see podcasts and like see my personality, you can go on YouTube and see the G Spot.
Nice.
And that's about it. Like, you know, I'm just working and grinding. And shout out to y'all for inviting me here.
Of course.
You know, taking the time to be able to, you know.
And I hope that you guys took a lot from this episode. Again, I know this is different for your audience, but I think it still has a lot to do with our mental health, our awareness, and feeling like ourselves in our own bodies. Thank you guys again.
This is probably, I'm going to say this on the recording because I've never done this before. It's probably one of my favorite episodes.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We was a lot. Bladders was full.
No, we're a lot. They added to the content, but you know.
No, thank you. This was fun. Thank you, guys. I don't know how y'all say bye.
This is the Friend Zone.
You are now tuned in to the Friend Zone.
There we go.
Come on, drop.
You want to say anything?
You are now tuned in to the Friend Zone podcast.
I think that says it all.
Well, thank you guys for listening. As always, we love you so much. And if anything, the only takeaway I would say is to open your mind, too. You never know. Something might feel edgy for you, but it doesn't mean that you, like, Mr. McConaughey said there were things he got exposed to because he was willing to try it. So have these convos, try things, maybe don't try things.
And be open.
Because don't try things because people want to try make you try things. Try things because you want to try things.
Exactly.
I like
be
that.
You.
If
be yourself.
Open to it. Open your mind
be yourself.
Right. Yeah. Be open to new things. And if you ain't into new things, be real about that so you can move on to what's right for you, honestly.
Exactly. Right.
Woo.
You got fired up.
I did because I just love the fact that we had a episode about sex and sexuality because on both sides of the coin, whether it's men being comfortable, women being comfortable, we all have to be open so we can stop wasting each other's time so we can get to what the fuck we want.
Facts. And so you can just feel better.
And you got to be open to take the... Have a good evening.
And on that note,
stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.
And protect your neck too.